So we're gonna play some Animal Crossing or what?
Hello and welcome to another episode of Juicebox Music Podcast. I'm your host, Hunter McClamrock. And with me, live, via the internet, like everything else in the world, is Nicholas Moreau.
Hey, Hunter.
So it turns out you can still do podcasts when you're quarantined.
Yeah.
Who knew?
It actually hasn't changed anything for us. As far as podcast goes.
As far as the show goes. No, Nick, how are you doing? How are you doing hold up there in your palatial estate outside of Portland, Oregon?
As we're recording this, it's week three. I think we've completed a third week of confinement, if I'm not mistaken. Doing okay, I suppose, considering. I think week three is really when it starts sinking in that this is going to last for a while.
Yeah.
And this was definitely like the hardest of the 3 weeks so far. I'm guessing week four isn't going to be any easier. How are you doing?
Those mornings where you know, I wake up sometimes and like I realize that I'm not going anywhere that day, and I kind of get that feeling in the pit of my stomach. So I have to make the decision to make the best out of, you know, the circumstances.
Yeah.
I'm doing fine, you know, going out for walks here and there.
Yeah.
Doing a lot of cooking, doing a lot of cleaning up after cooking. Turns out it's hard to work from home with a small child.
Amen.
So that's something that is, you know, a big adjustment. But you know what? More time to listen to records, that's for sure.
Yeah, we've been doing a lot of that. I'm doing a lot of cooking, a lot of listening to records. I will say, like, spending time with, you know, my wife and daughter is never a bad time, so... it could be worse, I guess.
Could be worse. Yeah, that's true. And it's nice to have, you know, this time with your family that is you weren't expecting to have, right?
Yeah. We'll say I am going a little stir crazy, but it's all right. As long as the weather's good, I'm good. So you guys don't really have that problem. But you said, like, the pollution, because of this, the pollution is non-existent, right?
I mean, it's been beautiful, very clear. We just went on a walk just, you know, within a few blocks of our place here, and the flowers are gorgeous right now, blooming like crazy. It's actually supposed to start raining maybe while we're recording this podcast for the next 24 hours or so. So we've gotten a little bit of rain during the quarantine, which is nice because it's you know, feels like you're at home for a reason, and then everything gets greener and lusher outside. So that's been nice.
Yeah.
But you know, what's been hard for me, Nick, is getting all of these notifications on my calendar that I had put in there about different shows that were happening, especially over the past few weeks and upcoming. Around LA, this time of year is always a great time of year because Coachella and a lot of side shows around it, even if you're not going. There are, like, amazing shows. And with Coachella getting canceled, I mean, and everything getting canceled, that was one of the first shoes to drop, though. I was really looking forward to the Supergrass reunion show. That was... would have been this past week. That was probably, like, my number one disappointment because I don't know if that's going to happen again. But, a lot of things. Georgia, the murder capital, sorry, different shows that I was planning on going to greet death in the next month.
Yeah. We also had an interview that got canceled because of this, right?
Yeah. King Nun. Hopefully we get to chat with them when they reschedule some dates. Quite a few bands I think we were going to get lined up there. There's so much going on. But, you know, it's one of those things. I mean, everything is put on hold for now. We don't have any idea when that kind of live music economy is going to get roaring again.
Yeah, it's funny how you don't realize how much those live shows meant to you until you don't even have a choice to go to them. Like, you know, it was always a nice release, like once or twice a week to go out and enjoy some live music of bands you love. And I mean, you can't even if you wanted to now. So it's tough. And I also think about, like, I didn't realize, I know, I mean, I think we know a little bit about the music industry, but I didn't realize how hard this is going to hit some of these bands, and even bands that I didn't think, that I thought were, you know, popular enough that it wouldn't hit them that bad. But yeah, it seems like it's going to be a big drag on a lot of artists here.
I mean, even a band that you don't think of as being huge still has people that rely on them when it comes to touring also, you know, not just the band members themselves. And with, you know, records don't really make money anymore. Artists don't really get paid that much from streaming music. So, you know, the live business has become 90% of it probably at this point.
Yeah. Fiona Apple had that interesting, I don't know if you saw it, interesting video on Instagram where she basically told artists to say yes to everybody who wants to license their music, especially if you need the money. But if you don't, then donate it, because people do need the money.
Well, it came out that didn't Lil Nas X, like, sample some one of Fiona Apple's songs, and she called him out for it on the internet, and then they became friends and were talking about collaborating. So, speaking of Fiona Apple, she is going to drop, I think, her first album in 7-8 years in the next few weeks, later on in April. I was just texting you before we started that Laura Marling was surprised dropping an album. I think she was trying to snipe Fiona's place.
Yeah.
But I thought it was cool. Laura Marling, these are two of my favorite artists. Laura Marling has released 5 records since the last Fiona Apple album. So, I mean, maybe she deserves a little swipe. But I hope, you know, Rihanna's been teasing an album. I hope some more people come out with some surprise releases, because a lot of things have been pushed back.
I agree. Yeah, I'm ready for some surprise releases. I also like feel for bands that had scheduled releases and then can't tour on those albums. Like, you know, if your album is going to drop in a week and you can't tour on it, I'm sure bands that are, like, even Tame Impala, you know, that we talked about on the last episode, I bet you're in a better place when you probably just completed your kind of live circuit and you're working on the next thing. This is probably a good time to do that, but...
Yeah, they had some of the last major concerts, I think, that happened here in L.A. before everything was shut down. Tame Impala played a couple of shows at the Forum. I want to say, you know, those were the first week of March or close to the second week. Yeah. I know it's kind of a gamble, because I think if you're a less established artist, you definitely want to have the ability to tour around the album and do like in store appearances or however whatever your promotion looks like, traveling. If you're not playing a lot of shows, you're still probably traveling to New York and London and different places to do press. But I think a surprise release by, you know, a superstar artist could really, you know, make waves. There's a huge audience waiting for, you know, something to entertain them and to move them during this time when they're sort of locked up inside, you know?
Yeah. We have, a big band releasing an album this week, The Strokes, on Friday, right?
That's coming up. All right.
Yeah, this is Friday. One of our favorites, although I am a little upset at them about their Seattle show, which I had tickets to and decided not to go to because it was basically the day before Rudy Gobert in the NBA announced that he had coronavirus. And that sounds like, to me, that moment was the time where all hell broke loose in this country.
That was definitely the cultural tipping point, and, you know, the Gobert game.
Yeah, so, but, you know, the Strokes did not cancel their show in Seattle, which was the epicenter at the time. And I'm sure looking back, they probably feel pretty awful about it. But I am looking forward to the new album. So that'll be nice to hold us over.
And, yeah, they playing the same venue as Tame Impala in the days after, and that show got postponed. I was just looking at it now to May 29th, which seems very optimistic. I would seriously doubt that happen. Show is going to go to happen in May.
No, it is not going to happen. You know, we're April 5th, and we had 21,000 new cases today alone. I don't think this is going to happen. But we have had a lot of good music since the last time we spoke, or at least have listened to a lot of good music.
I agree, Nick. I mean, I think the first kind of quarter of this year has been amazing for new records, and I've been really excited about a lot of things, and so you know, a lot of kind of some under the radar stuff, some albums that I am reading a lot about. So let's talk about a few things that we've been listening to while we've been holed up.
Okay, I'll start with kind of maybe my kind of crush at the moment when it comes to music, and it's Porridge Radio's Every Bad. I've been listening to this nonstop, and it is an interesting album to listen to in confinement because it feels a little angsty and you know, kind of a, there's definitely, like, let's just say I'm somewhat worried about the lead singer.
At times there's an unhinged quality to it. Yeah, I sent this album. I really like this album as well, and have been listening to it a lot. And I sent this record to a few people, recommending it to them, and one or two of them wrote me back, "Oh, wow, that's really intense." Like, they're expecting some relaxing, you know, quarantine music, and this is rat in a cage music.
Yeah, but you know, I kind of like it because it's a little bit of how I feel inside at the moment. So, but you know, all quarantine aside, like, it is an amazing, I don't even know if it's like, if I would categorize it as a punk album, but it's an amazing, like, kind of statement from this, and I believe it's a debut, right?
It's their second record.
Second record, okay.
The first one was like 4 years ago, and, you know, I don't know, I haven't heard anything from it, but it seems kind of like a rebirth.
You know, and a band I can't wait to see live. I can't wait to see those songs on stage. It's also has the quality of being fairly short, and it goes by as in a breeze. And I was thinking about, like, how I started coming around to this record, and like, I fell in love with it listening to Lilac, the track Lilac on it, on the first listen. And then now there's like five or six songs that I just can't, like, stop listening to. And honestly, like, I haven't had an album like this that I listened from start to finish constantly in a while. Yeah. You know, like, I never skip a track.
Yeah.
And one thing about it is too, like, the lyrics I find so clever for, like, maybe, like, kind of like, I always found, like, Idol's lyrics to be very clever. It's how it has this, like, art school vibe to it a little bit, but with a little bit more pain than the joy maybe Idol's projects.
Joy as an act of resistance.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think?
I mean, yeah, you know, I agree with everything you said. This is probably in the running for my album of the year right now. It's it's definitely like a post-punk influenced album.
Okay,
But like, you know, it's, there are like some really good melodies here. I agree that the lyrics are really good. They're not like, they're not happy. They're kind of, I wouldn't say they're bleak. You know, they kind of deals with like a lot of pain that I think most people, especially young people who are navigating their way through like emotional and landscapes with relationships and things like that, go through. I hadn't really thought about it as an expression of how we might feel, you know, locked up inside, because it does have that quality. It seems like it's trying to break out of something.
Yeah.
You know, I had barely heard of this band, and they were scheduled to open for another band I think we're going to talk about on this show, Sorry, in LA, just, you know, the first week that everything was kind of shut down for events. So they were, I seriously doubt that show is going to happen with those two bands, especially in that order, anytime soon.
Yeah, I agree.
Because I think, you know, they kind of, they signed with Secretly Canadian, their label. It does, puts out a lot of really good stuff, only like in December. And this record came out just a few months later.
Yeah, I think we're going to hear a lot about this band, and I hope that this kind of this pandemic, you know, doesn't kind of sweep the rugs from under their feet, because I think this is going to be a big album, or in a normal year, this would be a big album. But I hope this is still the case.
Yeah, I don't know how they are as a live act, but they seem like they would be destined this summer to play, like, every major festival in an early slot, but, like, you know, really get on the map that way.
Agreed. Yeah. Agreed.
All right, cool. Yeah, that's a, definitely a recommendation from both of us. An album, you know, another album that I've been listening to a lot that is also cathartic in a sense and shares some things in common with Porridge Radio, but in terms of the way it makes me feel is kind of the opposite. It's this record Heavy Light by US Girls. You know, this is one that I've been putting on a lot. And I really liked their last album, In a Poem Unlimited, I think it was called. And it was kind of a poppier breakout for U.S. Girls. I think they're from Montreal and definitely art school kind of influenced pop. I think this album's really exuberant and fun. It's not like the same kind of pop album that Georgia and the Seeking Thrills record we talked about in the last episode. It's more of it's a little bit more like eccentric. The choruses are a little bit stranger, but I think it's really, really fun. Always puts me in a good mood when I put it on.
I always think about, like, there's a little bit of a, like, not the sound, but, like, in the style of pop, it's similar to kind of like a Stevie Nicks style of pop. That makes sense.
Yeah, it's a little bit, there's a little voodoo behind it somewhere. There's a little something, like, mystical.
Yeah, I really like this album, too. I am actually, like, surprised how good the follow-up is to that last album.
Yeah, that's a record that I listened to a ton at the time, and you know, I can't really, like, remember it that well, or it's, you know, it's not something that stuck with me, but I really, you know, enjoyed it. And I feel the same way about this one. I think I may find it a little more substantial than the last record, but...
Oh, wow, okay.
I don't know. Really liked it.
That's saying a lot. Yeah. I think I'm going to pivot to kind of a surprise release. I think it was Ghost 5 Together by Nine Inch Nails, which is an all-instrumental album. Pretty much a follow-up to Ghost 1, 2, 3, 4 that he released, I guess in the 2000s. And I remember this... when they released those four instrumental albums, I think it was pre-Trent as a kind of a soundtrack genius, if I'm not mistaken. Like, it was about 08, which I think The Social Network came out in, like, 2010. So I might be wrong with this. But anyway, so Ghost 5 is a follow-up. It's called Together. I think it's aptly named to, you know, this moment we're all living through. When he released the first four... I remember the big splash was that he said that anybody could take those songs and use them for any media they wanted. Like, which was a kind of a cool thing. Like, I think he released it for free, but the physical vinyl release was like a big, you know, 8-record, $200 bundle. Well,
back to Lil Nas X, doesn't Old Town Road comes from a sample on one of the Ghost volumes.
Right, right. Exactly.
So is he not getting paid for that?
I don't know what the situation is now, but I know at the time, like, those tracks were free, and I know a lot of people used to use them for, like, home video stuff or, like, videos with their kids and stuff.
That's a pretty intense soundtrack to your
I know.
Playground romps there, Nick.
It's like the Watchmen, you know, at the playground. So if you like anything that Trent has done with soundtracks, this is definitely up there with, you know, very, it will feel very familiar. I'm not quite sure why it's a Nine Inch Nails release, to be honest. Like, it feels like he's just doing it himself at this point.
Nine Inch Nails has officially two members now, and Atticus Ross is the other member, and it's only been a few years since he became the second ever official member of Nine Inch Nails.
I guess that's true.
So I don't know, but I mean, you bring up a good point, because it's not like their soundtrack work, their scores are credited to Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah, or maybe because he wanted to call it Ghost 5, he wanted it to be the same artist, I guess. through to have kind of this common thread between all those albums. But I didn't even check if there's a physical release for this. I will just say, like, the other day I had a moment where I was walking to the corner store to buy more beer, as we're all drinking heavily during this time. And the second song on the track, called Together, is, you know, classic Trent Reznor soundtrack, moody vibe, but it was foggy and I was alone at night because there were no cars, nobody's driving. And it was a pretty surreal moment where I felt like I was in a David Fincher movie. So if that, you know, entices you at all, I would check out Goes Five Together. I will say it's not the happiest music to listen to around, but it is soundtrack quality, and so kind of maybe easier to listen to something a little more abrasive.
They have found a way to release just so much music, like be so productive lately. Nine Inch Nails putting out, like, you know, actual Nine Inch Nails records not that long ago, in those series of EPs, right? And then movies, and I thought the score to Watchmen was, aside from Social Network, probably the best music I had heard from them for movies or for TV. I thought it was really good. And that show was great too.
Actually, I was looking it up. There's a Ghost 6 that released as well, called Locusts. So I'll be listening to that soon and report back on the next episode.
Well, I do not think I will be listening to those records anytime soon, but I support them. And, you know, I like Nine Inch Nails, but I don't know. I've never been, I would probably check out some of the soundtrack, but that's just too much. That's just six volumes. That's just intimidating for me with, you know, just synthesizers, no vocals. I don't know. Maybe I'll get there.
Yeah.
But speaking of synthesizers, Nick, there's another record that I've been kind of putting on in the house a lot over this time, because there's something about it, like, just super comforting and nice, is this album Star Maker by Honey Harper. It's it's kind of like a country record if it was produced by Brian Eno. So it's all these super, like, warm synths with kind of twangy ballads put together into one package, and it's kind of like, he calls it cosmic country, but you know, to me it's not that different from old school country music with just some analog synths on it, and it's just super warm and easy to listen to, and one of the most listened to albums I've heard all year.
That's awesome. I saw you had that record, and I haven't listened to it yet. I love the cover of that record. not quite sure what to make of it, but I do like it.
Yeah, he kind of has a little bit of like a Ziggy Stardust thing going on, where it looks like a cowboy with makeup on. But, you know, Orville Peck, I think, has paved the way for some more freakiness in country music. And he's just, speaking of him, you know, he's now... left Sub Pop and signed to a major label. He's become friends with Diplo, showing up at the Grammys. He just put out a new music video for a brand new song, Summertime, which I just saw the other day. So he's doing big things.
Good for him. Yeah, I saw a lot of stuff about him recently, and I know he was one of your favorite. Was he on your top 10 of last year?
Oh yeah, I think he was in the top five. Yeah, close to it. Yeah. I can't remember. You know, If you're really, you want to go down the country wormhole, also I'd recommend the Sam Hunt album that came out this past week too. His first album in 4 years. Finally, we got Body Like a Back Road on an album instead of just being the standalone single. But if you like your Drake influenced country coming to kind of probably the peak, this new Sam Hunt record is really good.
All right, good to know. Good to know. Hunter here with the country update.
You know, I feel like most of the good country records come out in the first half of the year, so I got to keep up with them then, and then you get down to the other stuff later. But I have been finally, you know, everybody is always asking, what are you watching during this quarantine? Because you have so much time. But I have been able to... go back and watch the Ken Burns country music documentary I got to see the first couple episodes when they aired, but kind of lost it, and I made a point to go back and watch it, and it is excellent. It's like taking a class. It's really dry, mm-hmm. but it's really great. I mean, I've learned a whole lot.
That's awesome. I have to check it out. First, I probably should finish Vietnam, but
it's pretty good. Yeah, you have to really, mark out some time. So, this is a decision I've made to go through all of this before. I think I have plenty of time to get through it. I'll figure it out.
Yeah, we have time. okay, if we're going down the list, I wanted to kind of shout out a new release, I think, of this week. It's Yeji's What We Drew. So I believe this is officially a mixtape still. I'm not quite sure, but it is longer than her previous releases. It's 12 tracks. If you're a hardcore Juice Box music podcast head, I mentioned Yeji in the first ever episode as one of the EPs that I really listened to that year. And this, I've only been able to listen to it twice, and I really like it because it's kind of a bit of a departure to where she was, and I really welcome it because I think it's showing that kind of some chops that she has, and it really makes me kind of, it's encouraging for the future of what else she's got in store. And if you liked her old stuff, I don't think it's too much of a departure for you to not like it, but it's interesting enough that it keeps your attention. And I think in a live setting, all those songs plus kind of her classic songs from her first few EPs will be bonkers. So if you like Yeji, I think, check out What We Drew. I believe it dropped, Friday? It's been getting some good reviews, and I would give it a good thumbs up here.
Well, do you think Yeji has, considering that this is a mixtape, has a plan for her debut album? Because, Chance the Rapper, his album was a disaster. He released all these, projects that were called mixtapes, Acid mm-hmm. Rap, Coloring Book. When his album finally came out last year, it was, that has to be one of the biggest bombs of a major record that I've seen in like a decade.
For sure.
Led to him canceling his whole tour. I hope maybe that was his plan, but I don't know. It didn't feel like it was well thought out.
Yeah. I also don't I don't really understand in this day and age why we have to label things that much anymore. I love a traditional record.
Okay.
But to me, if this would call a record and not a mixtape, I would feel the same about it, And if I'm Yeji or even Peggy Gou, which I've talked about too, not because she's Korean, but she seems to release as well, just singles and EPs and mixtapes, that's probably good enough. Yeji has toured on a series of one or two EPs and to sold out shows around the US. And if this just expands kind of her fan base and allows, new fans and old fans to discover new sounds from her, I think it really doesn't matter. So I would say if she doesn't have a plan for an album and this is how she wants to release music, just you do you.
Agreed. I'm just saying, if you are going to drop an album after so many things not being labeled albums, you better bring mm-hmm. the serious heat with the album, or else, what are you in this for?
Yeah, exactly. I agree with that.
And I think there's been a few artists who've had kind of stumbled when it's come to the actual album. It was sort of happening for Lizzo too, when her album was stalled, and then she put out a few singles after the album that blew up, and then they kept adding them to the album. It was like the deluxe edition or whatever, and then now that album was a huge success. But
yeah,
that was actually a good album. The Chance thing, I don't know, it was bad. We didn't even it never even came up on our show.
I think the feeling I have about that album is it released and then the next day it was like, nope, not doing this.
He feels so outdated already at this point, huh?
Especially I feel bad for him in a way.
It's just not, the timing isn't great.
Yeah.
The Big Day. That was the name of the album. Okay, I was looking it up.
Yeah. I feel like there's a lot of pressure on that album, you know?
Oh, yeah.
The hype was so... I mean, it just couldn't live up to the hype.
Well, if you have, like, these super successful mixtapes, and then you actually put out something that you're calling an album...
Yeah.
And it's not good, I mean, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
That's not a great situation.
No.
All right, what else? We were talking about it earlier. Brit releases, and it's kind of funny. This album is taking so long to kind of come up on the podcast, but Domino Records, the debut album of Sorry, it's called 925. It's three digits. This is a band, you know, you and I have both been following for a long time with you know, speaking of hype leading up into something and some singles that came out in, you know, maybe 2 years before this album finally dropped. This is, you know, sort of in the same along the same lines as Porridge Radio. We were talking about them playing shows together, or at least that one show that I was going to go to.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? Was it worth the wait?
Yeah, I believe so. It's funny. It's definitely like one of the most clear cases of like an album that takes a couple of listens. Because like between the first and the second listen, there was a big difference in how I felt about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of amazed on the second listen. I even like questioned, like, did I even listen to this on the first listen? Because like, I find it really good. And I'm very happy for it because I think it could have gone several ways because, you know, we talked about the way they've released music or, like, other bands have released music. And this band just pumped out singles after singles for, what, probably the better part of 2 years.
Yeah.
And each one of those singles were amazing. And on this record, we find two of them. One of them is kind of like a remix or a refix, the way they talk about it. And I find that version, Lies, which is the last track, to be amazing on this record.
Yeah, I think Lies might have been the first track I ever heard from Sorry. And, you know, it was a couple of years ago on the show, you know, this spring, or it was probably more like early spring or late winter, we were talking about Shame and Goat Girl and all these other, these bands from you know, South London. And Sorry was one that came up a lot, and they were putting out singles. So this is like 2 years later. And you know, a very different kind of sound than all the punk scene that has really blown up since then with Shame and Idols and other bands like that. I had heard like maybe, I don't know, four or five of these tracks before the album came out, which is always kind of a strange thing when you get the whole album. But I agree. I mean, it's definitely, it's funny because so many of these songs have great hooks, but... Yeah. It is a complete grower, and we're talking about a lot of records on this show, so it's just one that I'm listening to on a rotation with others, and I'm still, like, getting to know a lot of the songs that I didn't know before, so I really like it a lot, too. I mean, I think it's definitely fulfilling the hype, or I don't know how hyped they really are, but we had them hyped. And
yeah, we were hyped.
We were hyped about it, and it's definitely like an interesting, like, kind of arty, skewed British pop record, with really good songs. So, you know, I'm really happy with it. I think it'll be something that I don't know, like, how it will turn out with, like, my favorite records of the year, but I think I'll be listening to it a lot this year.
Have you, like, this is a, I haven't paid too much attention to it, but there's a couple of songs on the record that use lyrics from other known songs and just twist them a little bit. Have you noticed that?
Well, yeah. I mean, especially with Right Round the Clock, like the first track on the album, which is, I'm pretty sure that Tears for Fears must be getting royalties from it because it takes the melody and some of the lyrics from Mad World.
Yeah. And then I think there's also... is it Rosie that uses kind of the Louis Armstrong, like, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
What a wonderful
like
world.
Yeah. They use some of those lyrics, but they twist them a little bit. And I find it to be like pretty, it straddles that edge, that line of like being clever and cool, and also like, yes. it's really smart, I thought. And it's almost like this album, the more I listen to it, there's like all these layers of things I'm discovering. And you know, like, I just can't, like, to me it's the same. I was just actually thinking, like, I forgot Porridge Radio was gonna open for that show you were gonna go to. It'd be interesting to listen to them back to back, to see how it would feel.
That's gonna be that's just a show that, the more I think about it, the sadder it gets. But I think you're hitting on something. There's something like sort of uncool about this band. Mm-hmm. Even though they have their aesthetic, like, they don't really do interviews, and they, like, live there. I've seen footage of them, they're kind of like bathed in black with like some backlighting, and they seem like they might take themselves too seriously, but then there's a lot of, lyrically, there's a lot of like kind of funny, weird stuff, and in the interpolations of those songs, like, those are just those choices, especially Mad World, which is a great Tears for Fears song, and then it was done, I think the guy's name was Gary Jules for the Donnie Darko soundtrack, and it became a big hit.
Yeah.
And there's something so corny about that, and like, but it's also a great song, you know, and the way they use it is just, it really throws me for a loop every time I hear that song, especially the first song in the album. It's kind of like, there's a statement there, and it's, I don't know exactly what it is, but there seems to be real purpose with their music.
Yeah, and I think the lyric they changed, they say, because I think the original lyrics are, all the dreams in which I'm dying are the best I've ever had, and they say, all the dreams in which I'm famous are the best I've ever had. Right? Yeah. But they sing it in the same way that Tears for Fears or Gary Jules would sing it, so... I don't know. There's a lot of like little Easter eggs there. The one thing I'm not quite sure, I was hoping you knew it. I don't understand the name of the album or the picture on the cover of the album. Have you thought about this? It almost feels like, and with that parental advisory thing, it almost feels like a rap album from the 90s.
Yes.
Like,
well, they do. When we were talking about these songs, I mean, they're basically like, I think it's a reference to sampling. I think that's part of the reason why they do it, and they have influences from hip hop music, but done in a way that I think is, you know, it's very subtle, kind of in the way like what Billie Eilish has done too, like with referencing a lot of SoundCloud rap songs and everything. It comes so much more naturally than it did maybe a generation before. I think Sorry are still like, they're all like really young.
Yeah.
I have no idea what the album title means. I love the parental advisory sticker on there, though. It's like, you never, it's like a prominent piece of the artwork, and it brings me back.
Yeah, I know. I haven't seen that in a while. And I was like, I was even thinking, like, am I just not listening to enough music with cuss words? And I'm like, well, no, I live all the time.
No, it's definitely an aesthetic choice. I don't even know if it's, you know, something that is, that people really use anymore.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's the cover is like a necklace with a pendant that says Sorry 925 on it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sure that just means something to the band, and they just, I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of like crypticness, and I don't think, you know, it's, I don't know, it's not as easy to wrap your head around. I had some initial, like, maybe my first or second listen of the album was a little bit disappointing, because I kind of thought it was going to be like 13 like complete bangers, like there's some of their singles and some of the songs that are on here. But the more I listened to it, the more I realized like how, you know, I think there's a lot of like growers on the album, and by the time I listen to it enough, it'll probably end up being feeling like that.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I mean, I'm probably gonna listen to it again this afternoon after we hang up, and
Yeah, it's fun to fun to talk about because I realize like how hard it is to kind of describe them and you know what makes them special without just listening to it.
Yeah. So how do you feel about? Yeah. How do you feel about the reworking of Lies? I know that was such a huge single, at least for us.
Yeah. So it's the last song on the album, and yeah, I like it. I haven't actually gone back and listened to the normal version or the original version of the song, but it's definitely slowed down. It's more menacing, and it feels, you know, it's kind of a what was like a really rousing standalone single has made the coda of the album kind of. So
yeah,
I like that. I think there's that Rock and Roll Star or Rock and Roll Star Starstruck or no, not Rock and Roll Star Starstruck and Right Around the Clock I had heard.
Yeah.
Before the release.
Also, I think it's interesting that Lies is the longest track on the record. It's their first one, but maybe just a coincidence.
How long is it?
4 minutes and 7 seconds.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's not a short album. It's like 45 minutes long. So there's a lot.
Yeah.
It's more sprawling, I think, than I expected it to be. I kind of expected it, like I said, I expected it to be like more concise, like maybe like 10 bangers.
Yeah, same. But yeah, I really enjoying it. And I really like the Domino release. We got the gray vinyl, the kind of marbled gray vinyl that came with like a surprise 7-inch, right? I don't remember that there was going to be a 7-inch with it.
Yeah, so that's, I mean, like we were talking about before, it's a really good way to support, you know, artists is to try to buy some merch, buy some records during this time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I haven't listened to the 7-inch yet that came with it. So I'm kind of like concentrating on the album.
It's pretty good. Yeah. There's I forget the name of the single, but it's Head Pricks and something else, maybe. Anyway, really good.
Well, I mentioned, you know, looking forward to 10 bangers. There is an album out that's come out recently that is 10 bangers, and that's it. This is this Baxter Dury record, The Night Chancers.
Hunter, tell us a little more about Baxter Dury.
So Baxter Dury is, you know, he's a man of a certain age. I think he's about almost 50 years old. He's the son of Ian Dury, who was a really well-known pub rock figure in the UK. Like, you know, he sold tons of albums, was a big star, mostly in the UK and in Europe. And, you know, from what I understand, Baxter Dury is just like a rich guy who decided to start making like really good music in his 30s, where he, you know, talks about a lot of perverted rich people problems. And he keeps getting better with every album. I really love this album a lot, The Night Chancers. It's, it kind of has a feeling of like, imagine if Mike Skinner from The Streets was like turned into Brian Ferry from Roxy Music and was kind of like suave. But this record especially has a lot of kind of disco beats and, you know, it's all kind of a background for him to, he's a very like much of a storyteller with his lyrics, kind of wax poetic about all sorts of like sketchy and sleazy situations. And it's great. I've loved this is the fourth album of his in a row that I have like really, really liked, but I think this is probably his best one yet.
When we were texting about it, I described it, there's a certain Gainsbourg element to it, like Serge Gainsbourg, like
for sure, you know, there's the wax a French pop element, like that kind of, and there's oftentimes his voice, which is kind of talky and gravelly, is paired with like really pretty like female backing vocals.
Yeah,
or sometimes just you know, they're just as prominent as his.
Yeah. I love this. I love this album too. I think you're right. It's 10 bangers. It's just like, it's such a great album. I don't really understand what a Night Chancer is, but I love it. And if Baxter is available for an interview, I think it would make for probably a wild interview, which I would love to have.
Yeah, I think, you know, Chancer is like an opportunist. So, you know, these are people who come out at night to take advantage of other people in some way.
Great. My people. My people. I am so happy you sent me this, and I've fallen in love with it as well. It is a constant rotation. That between that, Sorry, and Porridge Radio is basically like on a constant rotation in our house right now.
Yeah, those are some great records. I mean, those and a few others that we've talked about, I've just have been making this quarantine life a lot better.
Yeah. This brings up like a topic that, you know, I'm interested to see what kind of art we're getting out of, you know, this confinement stage we're in.
I know. I hope it doesn't, yeah, I kind we'll of see. Hope it doesn't all reference this though, for like, we go through a period where this is all that everything is about for years. 'Cause I still hope that there's the ability for like escapism, you know?
Yeah, for real. Yeah, I know. We all need some escapism right now.
For real.
Let's see. What else? It's kind of all I had on my list. I've listened to the Nicholas Jaar album a couple of times, and I don't really want to go into detail because I don't feel like I've got a grasp on it. I'll give you my first. I don't know. Have you listened to it at all?
No, I haven't.
No. Okay. I'll give you my kind of my first impression of it. He released the Against All Logic, the new album under his moniker Against All Logic, I guess a couple months ago in January, or maybe February. And this new album is Nicholas Jaar release. It's called Cenizas. Cenizas? Cenizas.
And it's very much...
Yeah, he's... One is, you know, I love his label, Other People. I think he's, you know, one of the most prolific musicians we have right now. But the difference between his Against All Logic release and his Nicholas Jaar releases is pretty drastic. This is more of an ambient record, more like his previous releases, which, you know, I think it was like Space or Nymphs and Pomegranates, and like Space is Only Noise is the one he's really famous for. So more in that vein, and like all those records, it just takes time to really understand it and get into it. So not that I haven't listened to it, it's pretty long too. It's almost an hour for 13 songs. But I'm going to give it some more time and maybe report back next time we talk.
He must be drinking whatever energy drinks that Trent Reznor has been up, you know, engulfing these last few years.
I think it's Chilean wine.
Is that what it is? That's what Trent likes too, huh?
Yeah.
Figures. Always pegged him for a Malbec kind of guy.
Yeah. Well, nothing wrong with a good Malbec.
Well, one other record, I mean, there's like, I'm just looking at my list here. There's like quite a few things, but there's one other record I think I'd give a shout out to that I actually just kind of listened to the last few days a little bit more. I really like this album Collector by Disc, D-I-S-Q. It's kind of like, I get kind of teenage fan club vibes. A lot of like British bands I really like, even like Idlewild and Parquet Courts definitely too. It's just a clever, really fun, catchy indie rock record. And I haven't heard one kind of like that in a while. So it's one that I keep going back to.
Yeah, it's a good record. I've listened to it a couple of times. It actually popped up on my wife's, she listens to this once in a while to this Apple playlist, like new music, I think is what the playlist is called, and weekly it changes. And I think Daily Routine was on it from the Disc record.
Yeah, I had one of those experiences with it that happens every once in a while with an album where, you know, I like it, I listen to it a few times, but it never like truly clicks for me, or I never like... I'm not like, I really love this or anything, but I'm like, this is pretty good. I don't listen to it for like 2 or 3 weeks. And then I decide to give it another chance to just decide if it's something that I like a lot or just I'm kind of cool with it. And like every song I remembered and was really like into, and it felt like I knew the record really, really well. So I had this, you know, I like loved it after listening to not listening to it for a couple of weeks. Sometimes there's just so much, we're trying to like process so much that you need some time to sit and give it more attention later.
Exactly. Exactly. It's like a good wine, you know, open it, let it breathe, you know,
let's do that right now.
Open some wine.
It's only 3 o'clock. I mean, I look at the clock like it matters. I think I need to bring back the sun clock.
Well, I'm definitely drinking earlier than I usually do. And more frequently.
Well, you don't have to drive anywhere.
Exactly. And, I'm not sure why, but I do. So.
I think everybody is. I don't know. I think we're in for a long, long time with this, Nick. We just got to, you know, is there any other things that you've been listening to, like not new records or anything like that, that's seemed appropriate during this time?
Well, you know, we've been going through the exercise of going through our discography on vinyl.
Yeah.
On Instagram, you can see some of that. So I've listened to a lot of records from A, I mean, the C's now, A to C. It's taking a rather long time with working from home and being on calls all day and like trying to pop in a record here and there. I really enjoy the exercise, to be honest. It's kind of nice. Sometimes I discover records I didn't remember I had, like the Christopher Owens record.
Lay Strada.
Which I think is better than I initially thought. So of those records, what was interesting to me is listening to the same artist and listening to those records back to back. Which is not something I do too often. And I have to say, because of this, I've been listening to a little bit more Autolux than I usually do. And just like how good those records are is pretty pretty astounding to me.
And imagine even the last one, all of ABBA's records, and like that's how you got started, but you had to go through like, I love ABBA, but imagine like 15 back to back records.
Yeah, or Iron Maiden. What, they have like 20 something, or they have to now?
Who knows? I would say more like 50.
Who knows at this point? What about you? Have you listened to anything recently that, you know, is in new?
Well, you know, I'm definitely some. It's been a good amount of country. I think some of it inspired by the documentary, and I've been getting into the first few records from K.D. Lang back in the 80s when she was just straight up country, like straight out of Canada. And those are really nice, really soothing music to have on. I'm doing the same thing, going through the records, and I'm like, I think the last one I played was the Fugees. No, Galaxy 500. I'm on the G's. But it's hard for, like, Galaxy 500 was perfect because that was the next record up. And I woke up this morning, and that's perfect music for me, at least, to listen to while I'm having a cup of coffee in the morning. It's, like, soothing and pleasant and everything, you know? But so many times, like, the next record that I'm supposed to play doesn't match my mood. So then I have to go listen to something else, or it's not just not the vibe I want right then. So it's not exactly, I'm not really enjoying it. I don't know. So it's hard. It requires discipline.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I agree. But, you know, for anybody that's listening that has a good record like collection, like if you've never done it, it's a good exercise, and it's fun to do. I like it.
Yeah. And you know, you maybe clear out some things that you're not listening to so much. Get rid of them. Bring in some more things. Just let it flow.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it's a good way of knowing what you like and don't like.
All right, well, so we'll talk about that next time I talk to you. Next, see where we've gotten to in our collection and what maybe pull out some things. I'm trying to think if there's anything else from there. Well, I did listen to Four Flying Lotus records back to back, which is also. Not something that I would do. And, you know, I've been listening to a lot more jazz in the past year or two. And those records make a lot more sense to me now because of that, I feel like, in some ways. And they were really, like, man, he's really good. Those are all, like, just really good. The only one I don't have is You Were Dead. But I really enjoyed that, and I'm really, like, happy to have those albums that I probably haven't played enough. I'll probably play them a little bit more.
Yeah. I you know, speaking of jazz, I've, you know, going through that exercise, listening to Christian Scott Atunde Ajua's record, Ancestral Recall. What an amazing record that was.
Yeah, that's a really... That'd be a good one to listen to in these times, too.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, man. Well, we got the Strokes record coming up. We'll probably put our heads together on that pretty soon. What do you think?
Yep. Yeah, it sounds like the next one we're going to review.
What are you expecting from that album?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Based on, have there been two or three singles released so far?
I think two. Yeah. I think two, but I could be wrong.
Bad Decisions and At the Door.
Yeah. I think maybe it's something that I'll have to revisit once I've actually listened to the album. I think what I'm hoping for is something better than Come Down Machine, which I liked, but I'm looking for like something new from them. And I think that Bad Decisions, I think that's the slower one, or anyway, one of the two singles.
Bad Decisions is like the kind of 80s, like more poppy one.
Okay, so maybe it's At the Door.
That has the weird video where there's like the, it's like young versions of themselves.
Yeah. So I'm hoping for a little bit of a departure. But I'm also hoping for some, classic, like just bangers that we love from the Strokes. What about you?
I'm hoping that I see that the record says all songs written by Julian Casablancas. I think that's the first thing that the Strokes album needs to succeed. I liked At the Door. I liked it more than Bad Decisions. I think I would like an album a little bit more like that. But I'm guessing it's going to be received pretty well. And based on the two singles, I think the time is kind of right for them to sort of have like a more of a comeback record. But I could be wrong. I don't know. I like the Voids, Last Voids album.
Yeah, I just don't think the Strokes can win anymore. I don't think they'll get the respect from the critics that they used to.
I mean, the deck has been stacked against them since the day they were born, Nick. You know, born into wealth, growing up in Manhattan and elite private schools in Europe. I mean, life has really been hard for those boys.
It's a hard life. I agree.
Well, speaking of hard life, Nick, let's go back to ours.
All right. Sounds good.
And right. I'll talk to you soon. Stay safe out there.
Talk to you later, Hunter.
All right.